faith-filled finance. All major UK bank accounts. One app. Provision is built by Christians to help you steward what God's given you. Track your spending, saving, and giving in one place. Join the waitlist now at provision.money and get your first month free. That's provision.money.
The Leadership File on Premier.
It's my joy to welcome you to The Leadership File, the show that aims to help you lead as Christ would have you lead wherever he has placed you. I'm Andy Peck, your host, and whether you listen live on a Sunday or one of the many thousands who catch up via the podcast, it's great that you can join us. National and Christian News has often highlighted the decline in church attendance in the UK, and the Church of England has been seeing some of the saddest trends. But on the Leadership File this week, we consider an initiative that is seeking to reverse this trend and already bearing fruit. Church planting has been part of the Diocese of London's vision for some years. In 2012, the Bishop of London appointed an advisor for church planting, Rick Thorpe, with a remit to encourage and support church planting across deaneries and dioceses. In 2015, Rick became Bishop of Islington and has been dubbed the Bishop for Church Plants. Well, I'm delighted that Bishop Rick is joining me to talk about the leadership element of church planting in London. So welcome, Rick, to the Leadership File.
Thank you very much. Great to be with you.
So you come highly commended. Someone recommended you. Then before I could do anything else about it, rather, someone suggested that you must come as a guest. So there's no pressure.
It's great to be on your show.
So church planting is not something always associated with the Church of England, say straight away. So how did it become so important within the London churches initially?
Well, church planting is something that's been going on for centuries. So if you think about it, every church was started by someone, and often the process by which that started is because someone is want or a group of people are saying, we want to reach a new area, a new place with reaching new people with the good news of Jesus. And so we're going to do it in a different way to how we've done it before. We're going to start something new in that new place. Just since the 60s, I think that was coined church planting. And so it's been with us for centuries. But I guess more recently, we've recovered that desire to reach out to new people in new places. So before that, there were huge movements by things like the Anglo-Catholic movement at the end of the 19th century, that particularly in East London, a lot of the churches there were planted by the Anglo-Catholics, and the Daughter Church movement after the Second World War, just connecting with new communities, was also a church planting initiative. So we're about time for another one, where we start thinking, okay, how can we connect with the many people who we're not connecting with at the moment?
Great. And I came across in researching for this a planning document which outlines the different kinds of initiatives, which I found helpful. So maybe I could read this out, and then you could
sure.
comment on the kind of examples that you have of these, whether one of these is more popular than others in your work. So there's planting from the parish church within the existing parish boundaries. There's planting a focused congregation within another parish. And then there's developing a struggling church by transferring people from another church into that church, which requires planting into an existing parish church, and then there's another way, planting a new housing area or development, presumably again from people in an existing church. So have any been particularly prevalent in your work in London?
Well, I think to start with, my own experience was that I was involved in a plant from Holy Trinity Brompton into the east end of London, into Tower Hamlets. And we would call that a revitalization. So
right.
going to an existing parish church that is struggling. So in that setting, there were just 12 people left in the congregation, and there were plans to close the church. And the then Bishop of London, Richard Charters, said, I don't want to close this church. And he invited Sandy Miller at HTB to send a church plant. And so I went with my family and a number of other people. Many moved house, and some already lived in that area already. And we brought new life to the church, and through just various ministries and activities and so on, just began to see the church grow, and just with an intention to connect with new people in that place. So that was our own experience, and we had the chance to do that again in a few other places in Tower Hamlets. So in recent years, that's been quite prevalent in London, but I think there's been a desire more recently to diversify the ways we're doing it, so that we can connect with many, many more people. And London has had a whole breadth of different ways of planting. So, for example, planting within a parish church, inside the existing boundaries. If you think about, you know, an area, a parish, the people who go to the church will be a particular group of people, but there are many people in the parish who, just probably for a variety of reasons, might be interested in faith but wouldn't necessarily come to that particular gathering. They might not relate to the way the services are done, or it's in just a geographical location that is inconvenient. And so one example of a church that's started to think about that is Hope Church Islington, just very close to Highbury Corner. And they have a traditional church building, and they have a number of services in actually two church buildings. But they began to realize there were people who, for example, go to various places in their parish, but would never come to the darken the doors of their own church. So they said, okay, let's map that, let's explore some of those options. And Sarah McDonald, one of the assistant leaders at the church, a curate, started a church in just a local Costa coffee shop in the Nag's Head shopping centre. She has many people who would never go to the parish church who have started coming to that, and they are worshipping in their own particular way in a coffee shop in a midweek evening. So that's one example of just thinking about how do you connect with new places in your parish in different ways. In terms of planting a congregation in someone else's parish, in the Church of England, we do have this parish system, which is it's an amazing vision to say we are interested in every single person who lives in every single place in the country. And so the parishes really are set up, designed to pray for those people, to think and connect with those people in some way. But sometimes, just because of natural demographics, people, everyone else doesn't really know about those boundaries. So sometimes there's a need to do something new in another place that just follows where people go. And so one example of doing that is that actually in Tower Hamlets, again, my own experience was that we were invited by another parish, Christ Church Isle of Dogs, to send a congregation into a place that was a church that was going to close, a daughter church, and be rebuilt. And so it had started meeting in a school, and so we were invited to send a congregation to go and do that. So about 20 people moved from our church to join about 15 in the other location, and they started meeting in a school and then a community center. And that church has really been growing and making a difference in that local community. And that demonstrates some of the things that are involved. There's communication between the two parishes. It was fantastic in that sense, because there was an invitation from that other parish to say, we'd love to have some support to do something new in our own parish. And that's at the heart of when these kind of things work well. To do that legally, you need a mechanism that's called a bishop's mission order, because to do something in someone else's parish, in the Anglican Church, you'd need a bishop to be involved in that as well.
Right.
That's a kind of a legal instrument to enable that to happen, and we're able to do those quite easily. But then in terms of developing a struggling church, I've already talked about the church in town at St. Paul's Shadwell that I was involved in. There are a number of others in London that have been involved with that. But planting into a new housing area is an interesting one. So if you think in a new area, no one knows each other. So you know, all the relationships with people outside that particular housing community. And so the first need is not necessarily for a church, but it's for people to have a sense of community so that they would start meeting other people in that area. And so the job of a church planter in that sense is actually to create community, to actually discern, you know, on the ground, what are the things that are going to draw people together? And there's an example of that in Tottenham Hale, where there was a desire to build a new church in a new housing area that would, you know, have a need for a church. But before that was even built or being built, we partnered with London City Mission, and a fantastic couple, Andrew and Martina Kwapong, were the, if you like, the missioners on the ground, and they began to form community, began to start various community groups. And there's one person who was in that setting who just said one day, you know, I love this church. And Andrew just said, well, what do you mean? We're not having any church services. And this person just said, well, every time I come to this community group, I feel, you know, I know that you're a Christian leading it, and I feel closer to God. And so this is my church. And so they took that as an indication. It's about after 16 months that this is the time now to maybe start some focused church services. And they've been doing that ever since. So there are various initiatives. And another one would be Roy Hutchinson, again, someone who was in London City Mission, who's now ordained in the Anglican Church. And he's gone into Cricklewood, where there are huge numbers of new houses being built, and they don't have a church building to meet in, so they're meeting in their home, and they are inviting people over, and the number of disciples is growing. And they're, you know, they're just beginning to say, okay, how can we grow from here? There's no specific place to move into yet. So they're thinking about how they can multiply the group that meets in their home to other homes, perhaps, or even going on multiple nights. And as they develop the number of groups, then they're beginning to form what is the heart of a new church that will become, at some stage, it'll find a place to be able to meet in that will, you know, look more like what we might see elsewhere. So in all of these things, there are just many different ways of doing new churches. And from a London point of view, we're beginning to say, okay, let's have a strategy for developing particular kinds of ways of doing church in different ways, put energy behind them, put training behind that, find the people who are already doing it well so that they can coach others, and really see a strategic development of new churches across the London area.
Oh, that's really terrific to hear. Well, you're listening to The Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I'm joined this week by Bishop Rick Thorpe, the Bishop of Intlington. We're talking about church planting, and we'll be back just after this. Welcome back to The Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I'm joined this week by Bishop Rick Thorpe, the Bishop of Islington, who's for some years been involved in church planting, initially as the advisor for church planting under the Bishop of London, and now Bishop of Islington himself. We're talking particularly about how London is seeing church planting very much been on the agenda for some years, and about the different types of church plant. Rick, I don't know quite how the kind of genesis of an idea comes. Do people typically come to you, vicars come to you, or individuals come to you initially? What makes for a good idea in terms of a church plant?
Thank you, Andy. Well, one of the ways that we have been trying to develop ideas like this is by going to groups of churches in the church, and we call that a deanery. So right. That's churches and perhaps a borough or something coterminous with that, and just beginning to start asking this question: who are the people you're not reaching? And when churches begin to answer that question, we do that using maps on the ground. You know, we get people, you know, quite large 3 meter by 3 meter maps, and people scribbling on the identifying groups of people they're not reaching, and then beginning to ask the question, well, what would you like to do about it? And these deaneries will come up with a short list of ideas that they'd like to try out, and we then take those ideas and begin to develop them. And some of them don't last very long. You know, they're tested and it seems, well, that's just going to be too much energy or effort or money or whatever. But there are others that just seem to be, you know, the right thing that we should be pursuing. In my one of my former careers, I was a chemical engineer, and so I think a lot about flow and pipes and so on. So we have a pipeline that we think about, where the idea for a plant comes in at one end of the pipe, and then there are various inputs that where we develop that idea before it actually comes out of the pipe, if you like, using that example, that image, as a plant. And so there are four ways that we develop that idea. The first one is we do consultancy. So we have people who have done this kind of thing a lot before, and they take the idea and begin to ask questions of the people who've got that idea to help them to think through how to develop that idea to almost begin to start forming it more solidly. Then we assign a coach with that person, someone who might give a monthly call to help them as they develop those ideas, develop the principles involved. Then we invite them onto a training course. We have something called the Church Planting Course, that is a course to develop the way, the strategy by which they're going to actually plant this church. And then off the back of that, there's a presentation at the end of the course where people present to an expert panel, and that panel is then empowered to recommend funding for that plant. And so, you know, for Anglican churches in the Diocese of London, we put those inputs in place, the consultancy, the coaching, the training, the funding, all to, you know, to take that idea from something which is just, you know, literally an idea to something that becomes a reality. And we found that, you know, when I planted in 2005, there was hardly anything at all. People weren't thinking in this way. And now we increase the ability of that plant to be a success by having those kind of inputs. And so, you know, we found that, what's the best way of having a good chance of success? It's really if the planter is open to being trained, is open to being helped and supported, then we're able to put all these things around them to be able to do that. So that's how we're doing it anyway.
Oh, sounds fabulous, yeah. And we're assuming in this that obviously church plants are leading to, you know, increased numbers of people coming to faith in Jesus. I've seen some stats that suggest that indeed church plants are often more vigorous in their growth than maybe even larger congregations, percentage wise, in terms of the numbers are coming to faith compared to the numbers who are involved in the plant.
Yeah, so it, in a way it's not surprising, because with a church that is starting from scratch, one of the things is they have a lot of energy to try to make it work. So they're going to be, everything about them is outward facing. Everything about them is trying to recruit people, trying to reach out to people who've never been to church before to say, would you like to come and find out what it's all about? And the energy of a new church plant is going to be thinking, you know, almost totally around people who aren't coming to them. And so that's why they do experience high growth, and they do experience higher numbers of people who are outside the church coming to them. Inevitably, there'll be some people who are drawn to a church like that from, you know, who would be Christians already, and they would be excited about the vision of that. But, you know, one of the things that a traditional church or an existing church might need to do sometimes is to start thinking, how can we introduce a new energy around looking outwards? And it might be actually even applying church planting thinking by, for example, starting a new congregation,
right,
or doing something in a new place within their parish. Straight away, they're beginning to start thinking, well, what do we do? How do we get new people into this? How can we? And that energy will produce fruit of some kind. So it is very simply sometimes a matter of survival, just to say, if we don't grow, we will fail. So yeah. That energy leads to growth.
Yeah. And key things you've learned over the years, Rick?
Wow.
Give me your top couple, perhaps.
Yeah. So I think the first thing is being prepared to learn. So if, you know, I've seen many people try something without, you know, thinking they can do it on their own and not receiving the masses of help that's around and the masses of learning that's around. And sometimes people just really stumble in so many ways because they're not getting that outside coaching or support or advice. So that'll be one thing. The second is really thinking about the context where you're planting. So the church that you've come from might be very different to the kind of context that you're going to. And so there are things about understanding the needs of that new place, the kind of feel of that new place, the kinds of people who are in that new place, where you will need to adapt your methodology in order to connect well with those people. I think, you know, I wouldn't change the message at all, but perhaps the packaging of that message is very, very important to consider. And so, you know, those two things, an ability to learn, an ability to acquire thinking and knowledge and understanding from others is critical. And also the thinking of the contextualization of what you're doing is also absolutely vital. May I say a third one?
Please do.
Is not going on your own, going with a team.
Right.
You know, the thing about having a team from the moment you start is that you are already leading through others. And one of the things that churches will often grow to a certain size because the leader, well, that size is limited to the leadership capacity of that leader. You know, if you want to grow beyond that capacity, you need to involve other leaders that you are training and giving responsibility to so that they can lead other groups of people. And so if you start with a team, straight away you're giving away responsibility, you're delegating, you're empowering others to reach other people. And it means that you're not doing everything yourself. And, you know, if you with a team, it's more fun. You are discerning something together, you're able to support each other, and you're able to do far more than you would be able to do on your own.
Yeah. Well, final question, Rick, is I understand there are initiatives nationwide for the planting of churches across the Church of England.
Yes.
Do they have support of folk like you, the kind of process that you suggested of some of them?
Yeah, so in the Church of England, it's a... the Church of England is 42 dioceses who are all linked together. And in a way, that's 42 different groups of people who are reaching their own areas. And they're all autonomous. They choose their own way and develop their own strategies. One of the things that we're seeing is a greater desire, as the institutional church is in decline, there's a growing desire from the institution to say, how can we do new things? How can we reach new people? Particularly, how can we grow the church and how can we reach the poor? And so with those questions comes, you know, a lot of new energy and new vision in each of these dioceses. My own particular role is that when it was set up by the Bishop of London was to say, yes, this is a role for London, but it's also something which is available if other dioceses want to draw on experience or consultancy and so on, then they can do that. So I am actually involved in the majority of dioceses around the country. I spend about half my time traveling to other dioceses at the invitation of their bishops. So for example, I was in Birmingham on Saturday, and I've just been involved in an interview in Bradford this morning. And so, you know, just a whole range of dioceses are beginning to engage in these questions, and my role is really to support them in that. There's a lot of common grounds, but also each diocese has particular emphases where they want to again, that contextualization question about doing things in particular places. It does look slightly different in many places, but I think a lot of the thinking, the baseline thinking, is very similar in terms of, you know, beginning to think about new people and new places, doing things in new ways, the kind of energy you need to be able to do that, the kinds of people who will need to lead those kind of initiatives might be different to the people who are leading existing churches, and there's just a greater desire for collaboration and learning from each other. We're all involved in something new, you know, trying to apply this. You know, we've learned so much from other denominations and other churches all around the world, and we're trying to work out for ourselves, how can we do this in England? How can we reach the people of England so that everyone gets to hear the amazing message of Jesus Christ? So yeah, we'll do everything we can to help everyone that we can. Wonderful. And so that's really what we're about.
No, well, that's terrific. Well, thank you. Time has defeated us, but thank you so much for sharing and for, you know, for being one of those who are helping to change the declining trend in church attendance. And that's good for the kingdom and good for the UK. So thank you so much.
Thanks, Andy, very much.
So you're listening to The Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I was joined by Bishop Rick Thorpe, Bishop of Islington. Do log on to Premier's website, and you can get archived versions of The Leadership File, including this one, in due course. Whether you listen on podcast or listen live, I look forward to your company again next Sunday. God bless.
You've been listening to The Leadership File on Premier. Andy Peck serves as a tutor at CWR, a Christian charity whose courses and publications aim to apply God's Word to everyday life. Contact him via email apeck@cwr.org.uk.